Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi and thank you for joining me, Mike Dilk, with the Relax Back UK show. Great guest this week. I have a gossip with DJ, radio and TV presenter Tyler West.
So especially when you rip your trousers and you let out a couple of farts on the dance floor as well.
We speak about all kinds of things, including his time at Strictly, but also the topic of e-waste. Then it's Dr. Zoe Williams. We talk about running watches and the vast amount of information that they can collect and how it can be useful to us.
It's taken into consideration lots of different variables, how you slept, your heart rate variability, your heart rate, and it gives you a number. And I think that's what's really clever, because somebody like myself, whilst I'm interested in data and I'm interested in my health, I don't necessarily want to be tapping into these numbers and looking at charts every day.
So please do stay tuned for a great show. I love talking with my guest, Tyler West, and you could probably tell from the intro that we had some fun. I started my chat with him actually with a bit of an admission.
I'm more of a sort of a Radio 4 or a Radio 2 or sometimes LBC kind of guy. And I, you know, to be honest, I haven't really come across you that much. I don't watch a lot of TV, but right. I gather you're a presenter on Kiss FM.
Yes, that's the one. I host the Drive Time show. It's called The Home Straight, and I do that Monday
to Friday.
Do I sound
a real old fart then? I gather you're a presenter on Kiss FM. I didn't mean to.
No. It's fine. It depends on what you're into, you know, music-wise, everything like that. I mean, I love a party. I love, you know, putting a smile on people's faces. So it definitely is, that's what my show is all about, you know. That's what I do Monday to Friday, which is great. And then as well as that, you said you don't
watch TV
as well.
There's a big smile on your face when you're talking about it.
There always is. And then as well as that, like in the mornings, I usually work on Lorraine over on ITV. I've been part of the Big Brother series this year. There's a lot. So basically, I'm everywhere that you're not watching or listening, Mike.
Well, so... As I started, because I didn't know much about you, I thought, all right, I'll do a little bit of electronic stalking, you know.
Go on.
As I did this, I kind of got more and more jealous.
Did you get jealous?
Yeah, well, so on Kiss FM, how many listeners do you get?
Oh, I don't know, in and around about a million people come for a party with me.
Yeah, yeah. So my podcast, what you're doing now, I get 47,800 a week.
Yes,
so,
come on.
But, which is all right, but I was kind of a bit, I thought, all right, he's in a different league to me. And then I came across the Strictly. Okay, now that is something that I have watched a little bit. My kids love it. And that looked like great fun. And you had a pretty good streak there, I think, didn't you?
Strictly Come Dancing was, it was one of the highlights of my career so far. I loved it. Absolutely loved every second of it. I got to meet some incredible people. And I tell you what, there's nothing more nerve-wracking than dancing in front of like 10 million people on national telly. So especially when you rip your trousers and you let out a couple of farts on the dance floor as well. it was an experience in itself.
I missed that
bit. I tell you what. Yeah, exactly. Not everybody missed that bit. I didn't, though. Nor did Camera 3. It was an experience. It was great. And it was so amazing to just off the back of that, realize how many people I've been able to reach out to and how many people I've been able to like enjoy the dance show. It was an experience to say the least, man. It was really good.
Are you still dancing?
Yeah, every night. So Molly, my partner, we actually met on the show. And we've been together ever since. We've just got our first place. And like literally every single night we're out. We're always up on the dance floor. We went to a bachata class the other day. We've been doing like learning the salsa steps and stuff like that. It just never leaves you. I hate to say it. Like, you know, at the end of the show, they go, keep dancing. That's genuinely how it ends up being, man.
Any more cha-cha-chas? Because I believe Anton was particularly impressed with your cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, he said it was the best he'd seen in a very, very long time. Yeah, no, it was... I haven't done it. I haven't done another cha-cha-cha since then. I think, you know, dressing up as Beetlejuice was, you know, I can only do it once I get in the Beetlejuice costume, and I don't actually have that in my wardrobe with me at the moment. So,
So anyway, look, I was looking at all this stuff, thinking, you know, this guy's Mr. Wonder. I'm getting more and more jealous. But then I came across something. I thought, aha, tell me about the London Marathon.
Yeah, so this is wild. So I actually did the London Marathon during Strictly Come Dancing a few years ago. And it was tough. Like, it was really, really tough. Took taxing on my body, and I said, you know what, I'm never ever going to do that again. No, I couldn't. And then actually this year with my radio station, I'm running the London Marathon again.
Oh, are you? So, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, so this might smash my thoughts, because I happened to find your time for when you did it.
Go on.
And it was 5 hours, 25 minutes.
Right, so do you want to know a funny story with this?
Go on.
Is that I was aiming, like, basically my dance partner in the show, Diane Buswell, said to me, she was like, you know what, look, just take it easy. Remember, we got a dance tomorrow, because I was straight back to rehearsals the day after. I was like, look, I'm going to take it slow. I know I'm Jamaican and we're typically fast, but at the same time, I'm taking my time here. I'm going to take a minute. And then the longer that I took, the more painful it was. So I was like, you know what, forget this. And I just had to pick up the pace a bit. And then I was convinced. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get under 5 hours. And then we got to Tower Bridge, and BBC Sport were there, and they asked me to do a little bit of my dance routine and stop for an interview. And I tell you what, I sounded like a pug, and it was probably the worst dancing I've ever done in my life. But yeah, absolutely, that was part of the process of completing that marathon.
Okay, all right. So you started off slowly, because I was the point of this is that I managed it in 5 hours 10. So I was going to. I managed to beat you.
Go on, day. Mike.
You were hurting just as much as me afterwards, by the sounds of it. So that's all right.
Oh yeah, I'd cramp everywhere. Cramp everywhere. What
really hurt for me. My whole body hurt, but my smiling muscles—they were really hurting, because the crowd is so brilliant. They all cheer you, and I found it impossible not to smile at them back.
It's a day out for sure. I mean, I was running at one point, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then all of a sudden, you take a look up, you see the smiling faces and the people cheering around you, but also. You read on the back of everybody's shirts and it says, I'm running this for dad, or I'm running this. And it's just so motivating thinking about what people have gone through. And the marathon genuinely is something to bring everybody together. And then I got overlapped by a man running as a tree. So I was like, bro, you need to pick up the pace. We can't do this. We need to go.
So is a tree going to beat you this time? You said you're going to be doing this year.
I've had more time to train. A tree definitely might beat me, because that tree was fast. That wasn't like no normal like birch tree or anything like that. That was a big tree. And then there was a washing machine that ran past me as well. But I mean, as long as I complete it, I think it's for great causes. I'm running for Cash for Kids this year. So yeah, it's for great causes in and around everybody running. So it's one of those things. If I can get it done, I'll be happy.
All right. Good luck for that. Good luck with that. Thanks, at the end, if there's somewhere where people can donate money for the cause you're doing it for, we'll mention it, if there's a website or something.
All across my socials. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So people just find your socials and they'll find it. Okay, right. So on to kind of e-waste. Start off, are you a bit of a techie? Do you like all that stuff?
I'm a massive gamer. I mean, as a child growing up, like, believe it or not, I know that, like, I talk on the radio now and I talk on TV and, you know, I'm doing all these wonderful, wonderful things, but I used to be the shyest kid ever. So growing up, there was moments that I really struggled with my mental health, and gaming was the go-to for me. It was like, jump into your bedroom. I couldn't wait. And it was like my escape. It was my safe place. So yeah, it's always been a part of me growing up, and it still is now. And when, you know, the normal sort of nights in, even though as much as I can be DJing a party in Ibiza or Marbella, my comfort place as well is sat there with my TV and my PlayStation, doing a night of gaming.
Okay. So you like all that stuff, twiddling the knobs. And so, cause when you're on the radio, presumably that's fairly techy as well, isn't it? You don't just talk.
Yeah, exactly. Driving the desk is, there's a lot of buttons, a lot of faders, a lot of stuff you need to control. So yeah, it's like driving a car, to be fair. You just get used to it.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of volunteering for a local radio station at some point. So I might have to kind of go through this process of trying to, what did you say? Drive the desk.
Drive the desk. You need
I
to do
like
it.
An
you
old
need to be
able to drive again, the desk. I'm driving the desk.
Don't actually drive it. I mean, just move the buttons, Mike, yeah?
Let's prove your techie credentials then. How old is your phone?
How old is my phone? 9 months old, this one.
Okay, so it's quite a new one because my
Yeah.
again, sounding like an old fart, I think my phone is like 5 years old. I think we're just different when it comes to techie stuff. Now, do you sleep with it? Do you have your phone near you when you go to bed?
I put it over the other side of the room. I never charge it to like the full battery because I don't want to damage the battery health. But I make sure it's charged. I put it over the other side of the room and I set my alarms on it from there. And I have to set it over the other side of the room, otherwise I'm not getting up in the morning.
So you actually have to get out of bed to turn it off.
Exactly.
Yeah, good tip. Good tip. All right. So your phone is 9 months old. Where's the old one? Did you dispose of it, or is it still stashed in a drawer somewhere with all the other old E stuff?
So it was stashed in a drawer until I needed to get a new one, and then I was able to trade it in and get some cash for it.
Okay. I only say that because in my office, just a couple of feet from me,
You've got
there's a drawer
loads.
stashed full of old drives, old routers, just so much stuff. It's full, and I don't think I'm ever going to use it again. It's terrible.
I mean, Mike, this is it. Like this, you're like me. Like we're hoarders of different things, right? I've just moved into my new place with my partner, and she came in the other day, and she held this box that I packed up to bring here, and she said, "You need to sort through this. We don't need 15 extension leads." And I said, "You're right. Like you're absolutely right. This is exactly where it comes from. You've got all those mobile phones that you're sitting on a gold mine. You are.
You think?
Yeah,
Old mobile
absolutely."
phones?
I mean, the Currys cash for trash scheme means that you can take all your electronic goods, whether that's wires, whether it's old headphones, like whatever it may be, you can take it in and you can get at least a £5 voucher towards your next purchase. So, Mike, when you do need to upgrade your goods because something breaks or you're like, oh, there's a Christmas coming up or there's a birthday or I quite fancy getting that TV and watching Tyler on the TV, then you got at least a £5 voucher to go and purchase it. So it's a gold mine just sitting on there.
All right. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of this kind of e stuff just sitting at home, kind of rotting, doing nothing. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I mean, there's about, I mean, I think there's 846 million unused electrical items like buried in homes across the UK. That's roughly about 30 items per household. Now, if that's 30 items per household that you can trade in and get some cash for your trash, then it's not only responsibly recycling with Currys, but it's also getting a bit of cash in your pocket, which I think is so important, especially during like the times that we're living in right now. Everything's so expensive.
Yeah, no, I hadn't realised that you could get some cash for trading this stuff in.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was one statistic I saw in this press release: 60,000 tons of tech trash ends up in landfill every fortnight.
Wild.
Now,
Absolutely wild.
well, I looked at that and I thought, can that really be right? Because 60,000 tons. So the ton is 1,000 kilograms. So that's 60,000 kilograms. That's 60 million kilograms. So if a laptop weighs about 2 kilograms, that's 30 million laptops. I don't know. Is that
That
can't be
figure
right,
right
can
there,
it? Are we chucking
that
away
exactly.
the equivalent of 30 million laptops every 2 weeks?
You would honestly be surprised. It's so easy. You know, when you have that clear out and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to bin that item. I'm just going to get rid of it. You don't think about where that then ends up. And this is impacting the environment. This is impacting so much. And I feel like it's now's the time, especially. It's so important for us to start focusing on responsible ways to recycle that trash, you know?
Well, you're right. So part of the reason why I've got this drawer full of rubbish is until you mention I'll take it to Currys, they give you some money. I've never really known quite how to deal with it because I've got as far as thinking, all right, I shouldn't just chuck it in the normal trash. So I haven't done that. Where can you take this stuff for recycling?
I mean, there's two things there. There's one thing about, not knowing the information. I feel like it's so important. That's why I'm so excited that Currys have actually done this. But they've created this game, Trash Tycoon, within Fortnite, one of the biggest games in the world. And on there, you can actually learn about responsible recycling. You can actually take the trash within the game over to a cash recycle. a trash for cash recycling machine. And then you can start like building up your base, and there's competitions that you can win and stuff like that over on the Currys website. There's more information about it. But also it's taking that trash and taking it to a Currys store and just trading it in. Like, and there's Currys up and down the UK that are absolutely everywhere. There's probably one around the corner from you. And if you think about, you know, those average of 30 items within the household, everybody does have a little bit of cash there to redeem. So it's just taking it to the store.
It's a fiver per item, is it? That carries
also. Well, it's at least a £5 voucher, so you could get more depending on what it is.
All right, I think I might have to look into that.
I think I've just sorted out your afternoon plans, haven't I?
Yeah, I think so. Now I don't play. This may not surprise you. I don't play computer games, right? And I never really have. It's just never grabbed me. I'm quite a bit older than you. I'm 57. Occasionally, right, when I was young, a kid, we did play the classic tennis thing. I had a neighbour that I played that. But, you know, it just never really grabbed me. My kids don't play them either, really. So I've got an 18-year-old, actually, no, a 19-year-old, and a 14-year-old. Now, it was just never really a thing. But obviously it is for many, many people. And you're a game fanatic, aren't you?
I'm a game fanatic, but you know what? It isn't just for game fanatics. Like, my partner, she's not really into gaming. She came in the other day, was on it for hours. I mean, it's one of those things that you try it out and then all of a sudden you're addicted. You don't need to be an expert gamer to be able to play it. There's so much to explore within Trash Tycoon on Fortnite, and there's so much to do on there. Like, you're never sort of, you're spoiled for choice. And,
okay, and so you know, you've played it, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I've played it. I've been rinsing it. And so has, you know, loads of other people. I mean, there's over like 350 million registered players on Fortnite. So that's like 18 million people in total. And, you know, if we can start getting that message out there about recycling your e-trash responsibly, then, yeah, we're winning. We're all winning at it.
So this game is a game within Fortnite, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's something created by Currys within Fortnite. It's a tycoon map, where you can just go on there and it's your own world, basically. But the wild thing about it is that it's that 60,000 tons of tech trash that we're talking about put onto a creative interactive map, where you see it and you're like, your character's running around like massive mobile phones, massive like washing machines and keyboards, but actually this is real life.
All right, so you would recommend playing it. It's fun. You didn't just play it because, you know, it was suggested you might.
nobody's forced me to play this game. Absolutely not. I feel like Fortnite's, I mean, playing gaming in general, I've got such a mixture and a library of games that I go to. But, you know, Fortnite's been the consistent one throughout my life. And the fact now that, you know, Trash Tycoon has come out, I feel like, yeah, it's a game changer.
Okay. Right. Do you think an electronic game like this, even if people really love it and get into it, do you think it will change people's habits, you know, as far as trash is concerned?
I think it will educate, and I feel like educating is probably the main point here. I used to work at an alternative learning provision, so I used to manage it and have children that wouldn't be able to conform to mainstream education. And they would come to my, these would be children from underprivileged backgrounds. These would be children that struggle with their mental health difficulties, learning difficulties, and they wouldn't be able to sit still in a classroom. Now, one thing that the children that came to my provision always all had in common is that they loved gaming. So we was able to use gaming almost in a sense to help with their tuition when it came to English and maths and getting some of their other work done via like creating videos, coming up with like maths equations within the game, or editing together their own YouTube videos, however it may be. And then all of a sudden it's like, now Trash Tycoon, as much as you can sit there and say, oh yeah, well, you're diving into this world and you're just playing a game, There's messaging within it. There's the actual process for you to level up your base is what you need to do with trash in real life, with tech trash. And I feel like educating and raising awareness is probably the most important point, because if you can start that, we both have been guilty of it, of hoarding stuff, but also we're both guilty of not knowing exactly where to put our tech trash when we want to get rid of it. So getting the message out there, absolutely.
Okay. And within the game, are there prizes? So if you're good at this game, can you win anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you, smash up the tech trash within the game, take it to the tech trash recycling machine, the cash for trash recycling machine, you can level up your base. And then when your base is looking nice and pretty, you can take
I
a little
know
screenshot
what
of
level
it.
Up your base means.
Level up your base. I mean, like, upgrade it. You can get some nice walls. You can get some nice lights. You can decorate it. Like, you can make it look like an absolute mansion. So your base within this world is looking amazing. You take a screenshot of that, post it on social media, and then you have a chance of winning over £1,000 worth of prizes.
Right. Okay. Maybe you're not allowed to enter. I don't know. Have you entered?
I haven't entered yet because I'm not happy with my base. And then even if I do enter, I don't think I'm going to be allowed to enter. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have successfully demonstrated to you and everyone else that I'm a bit of an old fart and I don't play computer games.
I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have got that from you, Mike.
Oh, I've always liked it. Yeah. But I think it is what we're talking about is a very useful thing. It's a very useful message. And do something about your tech trash. And actually, if you take it to some places, you can get some money for it. So even better. Next question. When are you on the radio next? You on this afternoon?
I'm actually on this afternoon, yeah, from 4 till 7, yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds like fun. Can I come?
Yeah, absolutely. Just come along. You can drive the desk. We can have a little party. We can have a rave up. I mean, that's exactly what I'm looking for this afternoon. It's Thursday, so it's so close to the weekend. So, Mike, if you can come on and deliver some vibes and energy, that'll be amazing.
I need a bit of a lesson on how to drive the desk because I'm hoping to do it on local radio.
The door is open anytime, mate.
What kind of music are we going to be playing?
I mean, it's different on our show because, I mean, I have different elements of it. So usually it's like commercial music, pop music, house music. And then we go into like some Kistery old school and anthems for the last hour of the day. So the home straight anthems is basically the tunes that you haven't heard in a while where you're like, oh, I love this song. And it's you feel like you're in Ibiza for a second.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm probably not going to knock on your door and say, Tyler said I could come and drive the desk. But I'm on the school run. I will listen to you, all right? Because that's more
that's
or less
amazing.
Exactly school run time. I'll listen.
Oh, it means the world.
So finally, if from what we've been talking about, e-waste, if people have been listening and think, all right, I really need to do something with my e-waste. I've got a big drawer full of all this rubbish. Where can people get a bit more information? Where can they go to just to get a nudge of something sensible to do with it?
Absolutely. So like if you or anybody in your life is actually into gaming, then you know what? There is obviously Trash Tycoon within Fortnite and you can learn way more on there. But also if you go over to the Currys website, you can learn more on there and on their Twitter or their X. They've got so much information about it and their cash for trash scheme that they're running. And you can just pop into store with your electrical goods.
Okay. Right. That sounds like good. And finally, what's the charity you're running the London Marathon for this year?
Cash for Kids. Yeah.
Cash for Kids. Right. What time are you aiming for?
I'm going to beat 5 hours and 10 minutes, Mike. I've got to beat you.
All right. Good luck with that. I have absolutely no doubt you will beat 5 hours and 10 minutes. And thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
Right. I did listen to his show on the school run that day. My kids thought they had been picked up by the wrong dad. It was a great show. On the show, he was talking about training for the London Marathon. And this recording was a few weeks ago. And he was talking about the training that he'd done. He's saying he hadn't done any. Now, this was a few weeks ago, but I'm not sure I altogether believe him. Because since then, the London Marathon has happened and he smashed my time by about an hour. I think he did about 4 hours, 15 minutes. So, Tyler, well done for your great time on the marathon. And just thank you for being such a great guest. My next guest is Dr. Zoe Williams, and she's always lovely to chat with.
And Zoe, you've been on the show before, so many thanks for coming back again.
Well, thanks for having me back.
It's always a delight to chat to you. Now, since we've spoken, I think quite a lot's happened in your life. You've recently had sort of quite a change in lifestyle. So first question's got to be, what is it? And has that change in lifestyle been good for your heart health?
I think it has, yes. So my partner and I, we decided last year that we've only got a short amount of time before our little one starts school. We've got a year or so until he's due to start school. So we were thinking of creative ways for us to be able to spend a bit more time together as a family, more time in nature, more time in sunshine, more time outdoors, eating sort of more locally grown food, living a bit closer to nature and perhaps living a bit more how human beings were designed to live. So we made the decision to spend some time outside of the UK, and we're currently moving from place to place. And at the moment we're in Tunisia. So yes, it's definitely good for our heart health in that we've managed to, I guess, sort of down regulate our sensory systems a bit, our nervous systems. But I do a lot of travel, obviously, back and forth to the UK for my work, so that's right. Kind of it's a, the balance is pros and cons, but mostly good.
And does your son like it? Is he having fun?
He loves it. So he's in so he does a couple of days in nursery here, so he's currently learning French and Arabic. We're here, we're in Tenerife, so he's learned some Spanish, and he's a very sociable, confident little boy, so it's working out for him really well. He's loving it.
Very nice. And you're sort of coming backwards and forwards. Where are you at the minute, actually? Where are you talking from?
So right now I'm in Tunis, the capital of Tunisia, looking out the window, and beautiful sunshine, very windy day, so you might hear some of the wind, and I can see the ocean, so yeah, feeling, just very grateful that having the opportunity to have a year doing this.
Yeah, well, very nice. I hope it continues to go well for you. I have to say, I'm slightly jealous, have you been able to do any exercise? Are you doing any marathons and stuff like that? Because that's kind of very topical at the minute, because the London Marathon's coming up.
Yeah, so we've got the London Marathon this weekend with 50,000 runners. Good luck to all of them.
Are you doing it?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I've done two half marathons in the past, and I'm saving my marathon for when I'm a little bit older, I think. You see, the thing about me having been an athlete is if I run a marathon, nobody thinks it's a big deal. People just sort of shrug their shoulders and be like, well. But for me, that would be a real challenge because I'm built for speed, not for distance. So I'm saving it until I'm of an age where people will feel that they can cheer me on.
Will they be more impressed?
But hats off to everybody running it, because, that is a distance that I personally don't think I would be able to do at this time. I think one of the things I think we're going to talk about today is just the importance of, if you're giving yourself massive physical challenges like that, the importance of taking really good care of yourself around it and the build up to it. And, in fact, the whole time you're doing your training, making sure that you're taking really good care of your body in every way that you can.
Right. Well, so you said you might want to do it when you're a bit older. I am a bit older than you, and I did the marathon, the London Marathon. It was a few years ago, but I still think I was probably older than you when I did it.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it, but I have to say it did hurt. It hurt a lot.
Yes.
I did try and approach the training in a sensible way, but what sort of, well, it's a bit late now for advice for people that are doing the London Marathon tomorrow. In general terms, what sort of training advice would you give?
I think first and foremost, I guess this is good advice for anybody who's inspired. There'll be loads of people that will watch the marathon this weekend and think, right, I'm going to do that. First of all, absolutely do it. But start slow, start low and go slow. So, if you're coming, depending on where you're starting off from, you want to just build up very gradually and incrementally. Make sure that you've taken advice on, make sure you do all your stretches that you need to do, look after your body, and build up gradually. But also, I think, be aware of your health. Generally, if you're running, you need to fuel your body with really good food. You need to make sure you're getting good sleep. You need to make sure that you're trying to eliminate as much stress from your lifestyle as you can as well, because running long distances, it's a good stress, but it's a stress on the body. And one of the ways in which you can do this, I mean, there are great apps out there. Couch to 5K is a brilliant app for people who are just getting started. Think about joining a running club, or even just doing a park run at the weekend, which is a 5K, which is really sociable, great thing to do. And you can, you know, you can try and improve your distance there. But another thing you can do is use a wearable device.
Right.
And actually, runners out there say that the three things you can't be a runner without are trainers, obviously, a good reusable water bottle, and a wearable device. I'm an ambassador for Garmin, so I use a Garmin, and the amount of data that these things can give you now is incredible.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when I did training for my marathon, I did use a watch, but I primarily looked at kind of speed and distance, because that's what I ended up being most interested in. When I did the marathon, I mean, it did hurt. Interestingly enough, the muscles that hurt the most almost were my smiling muscles,
yeah.
Because I had my name on my shirt, and everyone shouted, because obviously I was in pain at the end. They shouted, "Go on, Mike, go on, Mike." And I found it impossible not to smile back at them when someone shouts at you like that. So I really felt my whole face felt like it had just been, I don't know what. It felt very peculiar, because I'm not normally so smiley. But back to what we're talking about, the watches. I used it for looking at speed and distance.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a lot of other useful stuff to measure?
Yeah, so obviously they track all of that in as much detail as you want. You can even have coaches on the actual device that will speak to you whilst you're running. You can link up with other people, and you know, it does lots of things. But actually, your watch, if you're meant to wear it 24/7, and it's monitoring things like your sleep, the quality of your sleep, as well as the timings of your sleep. It's measuring something called heart rate variability, which is this metric that people are becoming very interested in. Obviously, your heart rate is how many beats per minute, but the heart rate variability measures the variation between each beat, because if you have 60 beats per minute, they won't be 1 second apart. There'll be a bit of variation. And whilst if you're stressed, your heart rate will be high, your heart rate variability will be low. So when you're stressed, your heart's beating faster, working harder, but it is more regular. Whereas when you're relaxed, when you're in your rest and digest, you're chilled out, then your heart rate tends to be lower, but the variation in beats is more. So the watches now monitor heart rate variability, and by doing that, they can tell you.
I'm just going to interrupt you there. I think part of the reason when I was training, I used my running watch, I didn't so much take notice of, because it did measure heart rate, but I didn't really ignore it, but I just didn't pay that much attention to it. But part of that reason was I thought to myself, you know what? This thing is around my wrist. Can it really measure my heart rate that accurately? Or is it just a bit of a gimmick?
Yeah, well, I mean, the technology is getting better and better all the time, and they are they're quite accurate at measuring things like heart rate now. But what it does is, the important thing is, it's comparing you to you. So even if there is a little bit of irregularity between person to person, it's comparing you to you. I think the really clever thing it does is, because lots of people don't actually want to look at, well, you know, what are the numbers, what's this, and track numbers. But what they do now is they just take all of that into consideration, and they give you advice. I'm looking at my watch right here now, and I can look at something called the body battery. And the body battery, it charges up when you sleep and when you relax and when you rest. And then when you're under stress and strain, and the battery wears down, and it's taken into consideration lots of different variables, how you slept, your heart rate variability, your heart rate, and it gives you a number. And I think that's what's really clever, because somebody like myself, whilst I'm interested in data and I'm interested in my health, I don't necessarily want to be tapping into these numbers and looking at charts every day. I want the watch to put it all together for me and present it to me as one single number that I know whether I need to, you know, have a more relaxed day, or whether I can go hell for leather on that day.
So apart from these things being kind of useful for training for all sorts of things, you know, we're talking long distance running here. Have you ever experienced where a patient's come to you and said, look, I've noticed something crop up from the data on my running watch, and it's enabled you to kind of catch something which actually is quite important and has been really useful for the, for their health. You know, as a GP, it's been a useful tool for you.
Well, that has happened actually. And there's one condition in particular, a condition called atrial fibrillation. Don't know if you've heard of that, where it's when the heart is beating in an irregular rhythm. And whilst the watch is not necessarily designed to detect that, it tends to give you a heart rate that's higher than normal. So I have had patients come to me and said, you know, my heart rate is 130 and I feel absolutely fine and that's at rest. And when we've checked them, they've been in AF. And AF is a condition that doesn't often, there's no symptoms. And the risk of being in this irregular rhythm without knowing is it can make you more likely to form blood clots and then have a stroke. So there have been instances where actually it can be a lifesaver. And I think we're in an era now where people are taking much more responsibility for their own health. They're much more interested in their own health. And because heart disease is the number one killer, then heart health is, if anything that helps people monitor their own heart health is a really good idea. I always say to people, look, it's really important to get your blood pressure checked regularly, you know, maybe roughly once a year, because again, high blood pressure has no symptoms. So get that checked. And if you're using something like a smartwatch, to just keep an eye on things like your heart rate and how your heart is responding to various different things, and do flag to your GP if there's anything that you're concerned about. It's a helpful tool.
Okay. Let me just ask about heart rate, because if you do a lot of training, say for a marathon, that's what we're talking about, does your at-rest heart rate kind of improve, or is that something that would just our genes kind of give us at the start of our life, and no matter how much training you do, your at-rest heart rate doesn't really get better? It sort of starts to improve when you do it, but when you do exercise, and you know, your heart rate might not go so crazy fast when you do exercise.
Yeah, so your at-rest heart rate absolutely can improve as you get fitter. So a normal resting heart rate, the NHS tells us, is anything between 60 and 100. And yes, so
that's quite a big range, isn't it?
It is a big range. And, you know, it is partly determined by your genetics. But yes, if you're somebody, say, for example, who doesn't do any exercise, and you're next year you're going to run a marathon, so over the course of this year you're getting much fitter, then you likely will see a change in your resting heart rate. It will likely go down, and that's because your heart is getting fitter. It's getting better at pumping the blood around the body. It's getting more efficient at pumping blood around the body. So with each pump, it's doing a more effective job. So therefore, it doesn't need to be as many times per minute to deliver the oxygenated blood to all of the organs of the body. So if you're getting fitter, and say you're training for a marathon and you're seeing your heart, resting heart rate gradually go down, that's a good sign. It's a sign that your heart is getting healthier.
All right. No, that sounds like it's got to be a good thing. All right. So the marathon is coming up very soon. If people have sort of been through this, they've done their training, they've kept an eye on their heart rate. One of the things presumably they should keep an eye on is their maximum heart rate. Now, this is probably an impossible question because it's going to be different for different people. But is there a point where if the maximum heart rate is at a, you know, it's high, you need to think, hang on a moment, this is, my heart's going bonkers here, it's far too high, I need to kind of see a doctor or do something about that?
Well, if people want to know what their maximum heart rate, you know, a guide, an estimation of what your maximum heart rate should be, then you can go online and use a maximum heart rate calculator based on your age, and you can use that as a bit of a guide. However, we're all different, and this is where we're all individuals. And if you're exercising and your maximum and your heart rate's going slightly above that, but you feel okay, then you can carry on. So it's about listening to your body really, and right, not being too focused on the number that you're seeing. And I think this is, you know, understanding your heart and understanding those numbers is helpful, but you shouldn't let that restrict you or hold you back. I guess that's one of the slight dangers, is that if you get too obsessed with the numbers and you're starting to feel fearful, then maybe it's a good idea to sort of just scale it back a little bit.
But yeah, I think we can suffer from sort of over medicalizing everything, because, you know, at the end of the day, it could just be a jog around the block. You know, don't worry about it. Just go for a jog.
Just do it. Just build it. As long as you're building up gradually and you feel okay, you can carry on. But I think whilst there are, you know, maybe that is an important message, I think actually the vast majority of people out there would benefit from understanding a little bit more about their heart rate. Garmin have done some research and they found that 1 in 7 people, 14%, don't recognize what a healthy heart rate is or a healthy blood pressure is. And just under half, 47%, don't understand heart rate variability, which is something we've just been talking about. But despite that, good news, 60% of people in this survey said they're planning to get more active this year. So I think my overall advice is, if you're thinking about getting more active, start off gradually and build up slowly. And if you feel okay and your body feels good, then don't be afraid. Don't be put off. Just keep going. If you have an underlying health condition, then it's worth checking with your GP if you have any concerns. But, you know, if you're building up gradually and starting off slowly, you don't need to worry. Go for it. And use a device such as a Garmin can be a really good guide to support you on that journey and give you the information that you need.
Good. Right. Last couple of things. Zoe, if people are listening to this and thinking, okay, this is potentially kind of interesting, kind of useful, where's a good resource where people can get some more information? And also, I know you have written a book which has come out recently, so tell us a little bit about that. I know it's a slightly different topic.
Yeah, so I think if people want to know, I mean, there's loads of information about all of this stuff on the Garmin website, which is garmin.com. If you go on there and look at the health science section of the website, there's loads of information about heart rate variability and the various other things that the smartwatches can do for you.
The NHS website as well, hopefully.
NHS website, you can find out. That's a really good place if you want to know more about what a normal heart rate and what's a normal blood pressure. So really good information. Patient.info is a really good resource for that as well. So my book, it was summer last year, actually, my book came out. It's called You Grow Girl. And it's a book for girls. It's designed for girls aged 9 to 13. And it's basically a growing up guide. It's the book I wish I'd have had when I was growing up. And it's got a whole range of topics in there about ranging from everything such as the body changes that you go through at that age, periods, all the way through to relationships and understanding your emotions as you're going through those changes, through to social media, mental health, and how to be a good person. It's done really well. I've had some really lovely feedback on it. So if you have a 9 to 13 year old girl in your life, or if indeed you are a 9 to 13 year old girl, please do check it out and consider getting it.
Right, well, look, Zoe, thank you very much indeed for chatting this morning. Very useful stuff, and as ever, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mike, great to chat to you.
Thank you very much to my guests on this week's show, and they were Tyler West talking about e-waste and Dr. Zoe Williams talking about exercise watches. And a big thank you to you for listening. And have a healthy week until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week until next week.